Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. Her name is Mary Jo, or her family calls her Majo Pennington, and I've been talking to her all this week about her granddaughter, because on September 2nd, 2003, her granddaughter had a freak accident, fell 9 feet onto cement by the swimming pool off of this sliding board, and she should have died, but she was supernaturally caught up by, as she said, six big, I love to say it, big angels. And she had a heavenly encounter. She saw God. She saw Jesus. She saw aborted babies. She saw things that that people just read about. She saw, and through the eyes of a 4.5-year-old Victoria, they tape recorded her what she had seen, and her grandparents put it in this book. But there's a section here, Majo, in your book of the second time that your granddaughter had a problem in the swimming pool. Tell me about that.
Yes. We were diving to the bottom of the pool because we saw some leaves down there, and we'd bring them up and put them on this float that we had that you could see through. It has a mesh in the middle. And then we went over and put the leaves all in the bucket, and we came back over. She wanted to dive some more, and I was tired. So she said she wanted to go down one more time by herself. Well, she swam down deeper and deeper, and it's a pretty deep pool. And she swam down, and suddenly she disappeared. And I was looking through the mesh watching her go down, and I shoved that thing out of the way so I could clearly see to the bottom of the pool, and she was not there. And I looked all around the pool. My eyes were just going everywhere. I was just scared. I mean, it really scared me. She was just absolutely gone, and it was four.
But wait a second now. It's daylight. You can see through a pool. How come you didn't see her?
She was gone.
Huh.
And then and it was longer than her fall from the top of the slide to the pavement. It was much longer than that. And suddenly she came flying out the other side of the pool, didn't even touch the side of the deck. It was just like somebody threw her from under the water out of the pool, and she landed on the deck. I said, Victoria, where did you go? And she just looked at me. I said, did you go to heaven? She said, yes. I said, who did you see? And she just dove into the pool, because I thought she went to see the babies again. She dove into the pool and swam down to the other end and called back over her shoulder and said, I saw all of them. And that's all she would tell me right then. But later with her mother, she mentioned this, and she told her, I went to the bad place. She said, I saw the monsters and things that go, ah, ah, ah. I mean, she said, well, did you see hell? And she didn't want to talk about that. And later she said that that's really way down deep, that she didn't ever want to go there, but she went to the bad place. Now, I don't know why, what she differentiates the bad place from hell, but she said she had two fiery angels with her that walk in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so I asked her, I had transcribed the tape and I knew about those two angels. So I asked her, Victoria, did you have these two angels with you when you went down to the bad place? She says, no, I had hundreds of angels with me to protect me. Now, you know, if you read the book, that she means millions when she says hundreds, because that's how she describes the angels in heaven and the babies in the baby place. And there was many more than hundreds there. But she told me about the monsters and that they look horrible and they've got goo and slime on them. And these are demons, and she calls them enemies. And they trust in Satan. And she said if only he went down there by himself, then he won't have any many. What she meant was if Satan had been thrown down by himself, he wouldn't have many demons. But she said any many. That's the only way she could say it as a 4-year-old. And so,
but of course, as the Bible states, he came down with fallen angels, so yes, he had a lot of demons.
He did have a lot of them. And she was just saying, if only he only was thrown down by himself, he wouldn't have any many, because they are so many, and she was so frightened of them. And the reason she saw and she heard him speaking, and she heard these other big demons that were princes over things that they thought they were kings. And then she said, they're really big and they're really mean and they get the people. She says, those are the really bad ones that get people. And the biggest one that was king, she said, he's actually not a king. Jesus is the one that's the king. And she went on to tell what Satan said to his demons down there, trying to whip them up into shape so that they would come and get more people. And he actually admitted in this passage of this transcription that I had of her, Satan admitted that they're getting saved by the hundreds, but they're spreading the gospel way down to 100 people, which again means untold millions of people are turning to God in this time of the end. There's going to be a tremendous revival, and she went on to describe, and she saw the people. She said they were in water, they were in fire water, and they lived for 100 years and never die. And she said they was bald. All of them was bald, and they were dragging more people down there, and they're so skinny.
Do you think she was describing the lake of fire?
It had to be that. And she said the people were so skinny, and her voice broke. She said, I don't even know how to handle that, that the people were so skinny and so bald, and they were living in. She said they actually lived in the water. It was fire water. They lived in it for 100 years, and you never die.
Can you imagine, assuming the Lord tarries and your granddaughter grows up to be older and starts preaching this? I mean, what kind of an evangelist will she be? Do you believe God's called her to be an evangelist?
Well, she said not 2 weeks ago we were talking about why she was brought back, because she wanted to stay in heaven. She said, I was brought back to preach, but not while I'm a little kid, when I'm a little older.
Huh.
That I don't have the power now, but she knows she's ordained to preach.
Was she traumatized by this visitation to this bad place, which is a type of hell?
Well, she was fearful for a time, but this was also about, this was the time she was going through the fear of God, because Jesus took her there, not to scare her, but to prove to her that he was much bigger than them. She said, Jesus is much more bigger than them, because he could even protect me, because I'm just a little wee girl. And see, she had been afraid of the demons up to then, but he wanted to show her his power and might, that she didn't have any reason to be scared of the demons. She didn't have any reason to be afraid to talk about heaven, because he wants her to talk about it. But she had reason to be fearful of him, because he's the most powerful. And so that's when she started when I would pray at night, Lord, send your angels to protect Victoria, she would slide down under the cover and hide. And then she started, when I'd start to say angels, she'd slap her hand over my mouth. She was afraid of a visitation of the angels. I said, Victoria, what are you afraid of? We prayed against the demons. We cleansed the house. We taught you how to pray about the demons and get them away from you. She said, Majo, I'm scared of the angels. I'm scared of Jesus, and I'm scared of God. So he was putting her through this fear of God school that many ministers have spoken about, where she only feared him and did not fear the demons.
But the thing that set her free, you told me, was when she had her encounter with God and God put her on his knee?
Yes, when she was afraid, when she went in the throne room and she saw all of the she wasn't afraid of God, because she had already seen him dance at the baby place. But
dance?
Dance.
How did he dance?
He pulled his robe up between his legs and tucked it in his belt, and he danced, and he hugged my relatives. But he danced at the baby place, and so did Jesus. And so when she got to the throne room, what scared her was the things with all the wings and the faces and the eyes and the wheels, and she was just so scared of that.
The thing described by Ezekiel.
Yes, yes. But when she got within where she could see God more clearly, he motioned to her through his mind and hers. He never had to use his voice. They spoke by their mind, and he said, come over on my lap. And she went and climbed up his leg and onto his lap and crawled across his lap, and she was not scared anymore.
You talked about dancing. Did she see much dancing in heaven?
She said everybody in heaven is either singing, laughing, or dancing.
So how did these churches say that you don't do dancing, these denominations?
I don't know.
Now, in fact, I think I recall reading in the book they were dancing in circles.
They were doing wonderful dances, much like the Jewish dances. And she, in fact, showed us on the side of the pool how they'd hold their arms out to side each other, and they would go sideways. They would run and jump a little, and then they would go in circles. And she was describing more or less Jewish dances. And let me just say one thing here. We were at a Messianic Jewish church not long ago, and it was a holiday, and they were singing in Hebrew. And she was singing every word in Hebrew as they were. And when it was finished, I was just staring at her. The people on both sides of her were just staring at her, this little girl who couldn't even see the screen that they had the words on. And when we sat down, I said, how did you know the words? She said, well, that's a song we sung when we were dancing on the Crystal Sea, on the Sea of Glass.
My goodness, what kind of feedback are you getting from people that read this encounter, this 4.5-year-old, your granddaughter Victoria, had in going to heaven?
Everybody is just, they can't get enough of it. Some people are ordering huge amounts of it just to give it away because they're so excited about it. It's just it's just going to make such an impact because it has so many different things for the body of Christ and for the world and for people who have been hurt. It's just, we're getting so much. We had no idea it was going to impact people this way.
And yet you felt God told you to write the book. He gave you the title.
He did.
Okay, Mishpocha, consider yourself challenged. Order one or more. The book is called, it's brand new. You probably can't get it in the bookstores, but you can get it from us. Just call our 800 number. It's called Six Big, Big, Big Angels for a donation of $18. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.